a few years ago in Sunday school. It was actually in 2022, so coming up on 3 years ago. I had a series of lessons. Sydney, you might remember some of this, where we talked about anxiety. And this afternoon, the Lord just brought these back to my mind. And so it really kind of began to, or the Lord just kind of began to work on me. And I had an interesting day, as I've heard many of you had too, and just kind of struggled, and a struggle that I do not often deal with is anxiety. I am a pretty mellow person in some areas of my life, not in all areas of my life, but I'm pretty even keel most of the time, no matter what's going on. I don't know if that's a trauma response from when I was younger or what it is, but from some of the things that we went through. But I realized that that's not everybody's reality. And so a few years ago, I did this study. I did a personal study on anxiety to have a better understanding. I realized that I do have anxiety about things, but my anxiety is not a crippling anxiety. There are some people that have anxiety so bad that they can't function because of their anxiety. And I think that has been ignored by the church at large. Somebody comes to us with a problem of anxiety, and in the past the thing would be addressed something like this: well, just pray about it. Okay, well, I prayed about it. Well, just pray again. Maybe you hadn't prayed hard enough. And these are actual responses that people have heard. And so I want to look tonight. This is kind of out of the ordinary for me as far as teaching. And I will try and teach tonight. And if it turns into preaching, then so be it. I know that while I don't always struggle with anxiety, I know that Miss Tara has anxiety that she deals with. And so I do see firsthand the effects of that. And then I have talked with people, and I've tried to understand and continue on. I think early on in my ministry, I was one of those guys that would tell you, we'll pray about it a little bit more. Y'all all right? I got a feeling some of you's probably heard that before. If it wasn't from a pastor, maybe it was from some leader that you looked up to, or some confidant, someone that you thought would give you a little bit more. So I don't know that I will go through all of the series, but there just so happened to be four of them, four messages, four outlines that I had that I created all those years ago and taught it in Sunday school to our young adults. So they heard it, amen. They've heard it all before. I want to look at tonight that this thought, anxiety is a thief. Anxiety is a thief. So let's read Philippians 4, and some of you may have already figured what scripture that we're going to look at, but verses number 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request, notice there's a S on the end of the word request, that means plural, multiple, many. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and, what's that next word? Minds, through Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, please help. Please give me the right words to say. Please help me, Lord, to have a compassionate approach, and Lord, to be honest with your people and as transparent as I possibly can. Help us, Lord. Help our church. In Jesus' name, amen. I read a story once that kind of helps us understand what anxiety does. Here's the story. For several years, a woman had been having trouble getting to sleep at night because she feared that burglars would come into her home. One night, her husband heard a noise in the house, so he went downstairs to investigate, and when he got there, he did find a burglar. And good evening is what the man said to the burglar that was in his house. He said, I am pleased to see you. Come upstairs and meet my wife. She's been waiting 10 years to meet you. The point is simple. Now, that couldn't have been in the South because we'd have shot him. Can I get an amen right there? So the point is simple. A burglar can steal from you once, but anxiety can steal from you for decades. I believe that we all deal with anxiety at some point in our life. And a fact that Paul, the apostle, was well acquainted with, I believe, was anxiety. If you go back and you read through his life, Paul, just what comes to mind, if you studied the Pauline epistles, then you know the letters that he wrote when he was in prison. And we're not talking about two hots and a cot kind of place. We're not talking about the modern day prison where they at least have toilets and water and basic, very basic necessities. We're not talking about those kind of a place. We're talking about a dungeon-like place where disease would be rampant, where the wounds that he would have had, they would have been left to get infected or all this. Matter of fact, it's believed about Paul that the thorn in the flesh, some commentators believe that the thorn in the flesh was that his eyes would gush, for lack of a better term, with pus, infection coming out of his eyes that he had received from one of the beatings. But if you read, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, there's a place where he says that thrice was he beaten, twice he'd been shipwrecked, a night and a day he was in the deep. I mean, he goes through this whole list of all the things that had happened to him. The man at Derbe and at Lystra was stoned nearly to death and was left for dead. So there had to be some trauma left in the Apostle Paul. I think sometimes when we read the Bible and we read about Bible characters, in order to appease our minds, we remove the humanity of them. And so, you know, we kind of think, well, he got stoned at Lystra, and we have never been stoned to the point where we're about to be killed. We've never faced a murderous mob that is throwing rocks at us, literal stones being thrown at us. I'm looking around the room right now, and I'd be willing to say that none of you has ever been where a mob has lined you up and thrown rocks at you to kill you for that purpose, because you were preaching Christ. I feel pretty confident in saying that none of us in this room have endured that, but that's what he lived through. He was left for dead. The disciples surrounded him and eventually got him up and got him out of that city. And you know what he did? He went back and he preached to Lystra again. I don't know that I have that kind of ability within me. It had to be the Holy Spirit. But could you imagine as he walked back into Lystra after being stoned by that angry mob of people, if he saw somebody off to the side just kind of pick up a rock, can you imagine what thoughts might have went through his mind? I mean, this anxiety that he had to be pretty substantial in order for him to say, be careful for nothing. We're talking about a man who was quite literally beaten nearly to death because of what he believed in. Not because he had ran his mouth and some might thought he had deserved it, but because of what he stood for. That's the reason why he was beaten. That's the reason these things happened to him. And even the Lord tells us that there were great things that he would have to go through for the Lord's sake. And Paul had been given by the grace of God the understanding that the things that he was going through, the things that he was enduring those things because it brought God glory. And so he made peace with that. But that does not mean that the times that he would walk by, maybe he saw someone who had beaten him. I mean, the people there, when Paul came on the scene, they had anxiety about him because they had heard that he was a murderer. And if we'll just be honest, I mean, if we knew that we had a murderer in our crowd and in amongst us, we might be, hey, I better keep an eye on that guy. He's liable to murder me too. I better keep an eye on that lady. She liable to murder me too. All right. Y'all wouldn't say that? Y'all move beyond that spiritually? Good for you. I think you're lying to yourself. But that is anxiety. That's what that is. So, and we'll talk a little bit more. So what is anxiety? It is the uneasiness or the nervousness over impending or anticipated things. It is also mental distress over concerns and interest. Sometimes anxiety is concerns over things that do not exist. One of the worst things about anxiety is that it gives you spiritual amnesia. Real quick. It'll give you spiritual amnesia when you have anxiety. One, we forget who we are in Christ. We forget that we are a child of God. Now, there are times that my children are away from me and things happen. And I say to myself, if I had been there, I would have prevented those things. I would have stopped them. I would not have allowed them to happen. And we have God, the Holy Spirit, with us all the time. The things that come to us, they pass through the hand of God. I don't understand why that they happen. I don't understand why things go haywire. I don't understand why that happened to Mackenzie today. I will never understand it. I don't understand why you went through what you went through today. But I do know that God always has my best interest at hand. And I, if I am not careful, will forget who I am in Christ. I am His child. We also get spiritual amnesia, and we forget that we have access to power. I get off at I-20 and Liberty Road every Wednesday night. And every Wednesday night, there's a ton of traffic there, and it's frustrating making that left. And so probably about a year ago, I just started praying. When I get off the exit, as soon as I get off the exit, say, Lord, You're going to have to make a clear path. You're going to have to open up the traffic, because if You don't, it's just not going to open up. And so I ease up there, and I sit in line, and I wait my turn like a good little Baptist, amen. And I sat there, and I got now to where I don't even have to turn down the radio to see how many cars is coming. You all right? Shouldn't have nothing to do with it, but you know you turn the radio down when you're looking for something. And as we were sitting there, and we were waiting. There was a little black car in front of me, and I said, Lord, we got to get to church. It was already kind of running a little bit late for the kids, and Lord, we got to get to church. And I said, You're going to have to open up this traffic. And there's a line of cars coming this way and a line of cars coming this way. And I said, Lord, you're just going to have to open it up. And maybe 15 seconds after I prayed that quick little brief little prayer, it just cleared. There was no more traffic from this way. And there was no more traffic from this way. The little black car in front of me went. I went. The car behind me went. I'm not saying that to brag on my prayer life. I'm saying that we have power available, whether it's a simple thing like making a left-hand turn in traffic, or whether it's a great thing that the enemy's brought before you in your everyday life. And if we are not careful, we will allow... I could do this when I pulled up to that, when I get off the interstate. Oh, Lord, here comes that intersection again. And I ain't got no choice. It ain't like I couldn't have got off at the next exit. Or the exit before and just got on. Or, yeah, I could go a different way and turn around. I can think of all the ways that I could figure it out. But it works so much smoother when I let Him. And I forget that I have this access to His power. Not just my power, not just my intelligence, but His power. Another thing we get spiritual amnesia about is we forget that He meets all of our needs. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. And the Bible tells us that He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Now, if He owns all that, that means He owns me too. And if he owns me and I belong to him and I am his child, then it's his responsibility to meet my needs. He might not give me all of my wants, but he meets all of my needs. I went into this is the first part of the month. I don't know about you guys, but bills draft out around my house first of the month. And the light man, he don't care whether or not that I get my biscuit from Racetrack or not. Amen. He's wanting the light bill paid. And so I went in the Racetrack and I bebopped in there this morning. And listen, I'm not telling you this to poor fit of me, nothing like that. I'm just simply telling you what happened. We had not made it to the bank yet to deposit a check that we had. This is all that happened. And I get in there and I run my card and it says, insufficient funds. And I'm like, man, I just want a biscuit and a chocolate milk. And so I didn't do what some of you did and go put it back. I ran my credit card. Somebody say amen right there. Don't act like you don't know. You know you get them alerts on your phone. I got my biscuit and I left and I went outside and I texted the money lady at my house. And she called me. And she said, well, you know, it's the first of the month. This went out and this went out and this went out and this went out and this went out. And I got sick to my stomach about that fifth this went out. And I said, well, it's okay. I just want to eat my biscuit and drink my chocolate milk. She said, I know you didn't want to hear all this. We ended up talking. Maybe the Lord wanted me to call. And so we have that conversation for about, I don't know, we probably talked for about 15 minutes. But we forget that, see, I didn't really need that biscuit and that chocolate milk. I had a lunchbox sitting next to me, but the stuff in it was cold. And that hot biscuit tastes a whole lot better than cold yogurt. Somebody say amen right there. So my needs were met. My wants might not have been met, but my need was met. And when we get spiritual amnesia because of anxiety, we forget that God meets our needs. We forget that He is always with us. We forget that He will give grace for our need. Even our mental needs. You might even be tempted to dismiss the verses in Philippians 4, and maybe the thought goes through your mind, my anxiety is a little bit more complex than that, Brother Josh. And while this passage of Scripture is simple, it is not simplistic. These words are grounded in God's ability. They're grounded in God's unchanging character. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God told Moses, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. And so these words are grounded in what God has the capability to do. They're grounded in His nature. It's who He is. That means that they're a very needful word for us today. Be careful for nothing. What does that mean? That means don't let your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's not just a sentence for when we're standing at the graveside and we can comfort a family with. Let not your heart be troubled. Before I came in here tonight, I took a minute to look it up. Luke 12:32 says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms and provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's what the Word of God tells us to do concerning our own thoughts and our own ability. We can trust in the Lord's ability. We give huge portions of our lives trying not to worry, but worrying anyway. A big chunk. I'm going to try not to worry about that. I do not know how. I really don't know how. And I think sometimes Miss Tara gets a little ill with me about it. But I really do have the ability to not worry about something. I don't know how to explain that, and maybe it's just something the Lord has let me have as a pastor. I don't know. But we can be having a conversation, her and I. She can tell me about a life-changing thing going on that could potentially ruinous, and I'll say, well, let's just give it to the Lord. And she'll say, okay. And then she'll grab a pan, and I walk around looking like Steve. You knew it was coming. We tell God what we need, and then we bite our nails over whether or not He'll provide it. Lord, now you know I got to have this and this and this done, and Lord, if you don't do it, then I don't. We do. We worry ourselves sick over things that we've already asked God to provide, and He knows our need. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We believe that He exists, but we're not often convinced that He loves us enough to really help us. We believe in God. We believe that God is there. But does He really care enough to help me? Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. The Lord is well able to meet your needs and does care about your needs, no matter what those needs may be. We hold on to only bits and pieces of the truth, and that leaves us stuck in a world of anxiety where it's tempting to believe that failure, uncertainty, and worrying is all there is to life. I'm thinking of a man right now who I love dearly that is very likely sitting at home right now, wringing his hands and gritting his teeth, worrying about what's going on in the world. Let's get in this real quick. How many of you have lost sleep over political climates? The Bible says the heart of the king's in the hand of the Lord. And we believe that He brings everything through it. And thank God, I thank God we've got a good man in there now. That's my opinion. I'll leave that there. But these last 4 years was kind of dismal, wasn't they? And it was tough. And it was difficult. And there were difficult things, difficult to hear. But my hope was not in the political climate of the United States of America. I've had it for years. I have a radio scanner, police scanner, and I don't listen to it. When I first got it, man, I'd listen to that thing all the time. I could tell you all the codes, all the 10 codes. I mean, tell me you want to be a cop, and you never got to be a cop without telling me that, amen? But I could listen to that thing, and I'm like, whoo, they just got a 1056. And you hear them tones go off, man, this is bad right here. They done three-toned them. I bet they rolling out the fire trucks now. And I'd listen to that thing, and I would worry myself over, I wonder if it's somebody that I know. I wonder something. You ever seen somebody, maybe an ambulance, drive past you on a road that hundreds of thousands of people use every day? And our mind will say, I hope that was not somebody that I know in that thing. Well, I hope it was, and then that way they'd be okay. They'd get them to the hospital fast. Somebody say amen right there. I'm trying to say that we hold on to bits and pieces of the truth of the Word of God, and we get stuck in this cycle of believing that the only thing that is good, I don't say the only thing that is good, but the only thing that that can work in our benefit is if we continue to worry about whatever it is in front of us. We know that we're sinners who fall short of God's glory. We know that Jesus died to save us from our sin, but somewhere along the way, we've failed to embrace what that means for our outlook on life. When people see Christians, they shouldn't have to see the ho-hum. I don't know if some of y'all saw this, but man, we were up here Sunday morning, and I thank God for our choir. They sounded great. They were wonderful. They sung great. They were on point. Brother Billy was doing a good job leading. And I was looking up and I was like, y'all got to smile, guys. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Not very convincing, is it? You know why? Because there's a bunch of people come up here with anxiety in their heart. It wasn't because that they were hating the song. It wasn't because they didn't want to be at church. It was because they had all these cares and all these things that they were cumbered about with, like Martha in the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus sat and fellowshiped with Jesus and had a good time. Mary worshiped at His feet, but Martha was cumbered about with much doing. She had all these worries on her mind. She had all these cares, all these concerns, and she was in the presence of the Savior. Sometimes we allow the things that we have going on to overtake what our outlook on life should be. And that is, I'm a child of the Most High God. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Deuteronomy 31 and verse number 6 said, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. To two people this week, the Lord just laid them on my heart in a very strong way. And one of them was Abby and Corey. I just had them. I felt like they needed this Bible verse. Another one was a friend that I know that no way affiliated with the church, but this scripture came to my mind. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Isaiah 43:1-2. Now it's talking to Israel, but thank God we have the example of Israel in the Old Testament to show us that God has the ability to care for and to work on our behalf and to lead us through tough times. Our anxiety says, I just don't know what we're going to do. And the grace of God says, I got it all taken care of. Trust me. I don't know whatever become of this. It doesn't matter. Let the Lord handle it. I wish that I could convey to you that, and I wish that you could get that victory, I guess I should say, that spiritual victory. I wish that I could hand it over to you to where you could say whatever the problem is, whatever the issue is, you could say, I'm just going to give it to the Lord and I'm going to let Him carry it. We do that, and I believe we have good intentions, but we forget because our anxiety looks so great. You tell that Goliath of anxiety that your God is bigger than him. Get that little smooth stone. Put it in your sling. Spin that thing around. And let it fly where God wants it to go. The Goliath was 9 feet tall. 9'3", isn't that right? 9'3" tall. That's a big man. Here he is, this big giant of a man, and David, who could sling a sling. The Bible tells us that those who were Benjamites could sling a sling within a hair's breadth. And while he was of the tribe of Judah, I believe that he probably knew a thing or two about slinging that sling. He knew how to aim it, and he slings that thing, and as big as that man is, he hit him square in the forehead. That wasn't a stinking accident. Before he made it down there in front of Goliath, and these are just basic stories that we know in the Bible, he looked at his brothers and he said, is there not a cause? Do I not have a reason to be down here? Absolutely I do. Anxiety was getting the best of the army of Israel in that day. A man after God's own heart came by, and God did an incredible thing there. And it ends with Goliath falling, David cutting off his head with his own sword. That sounds brutal, but that's what happened. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Whatever you look at, whatever you see, whatever insurmountable odd that you're looking at and have anxiety about, or whatever little thing it is, whether it's pulling up to an intersection, or whether it's a great deal spiritually, or whether it's a great deal financially, or whether it's a great deal emotionally, or whatever the thing is, we have a God who is so much bigger, stronger, greater. And He's well able to do all and even more than we even think about asking Him for. But we as children of God, in dealing with our anxiety, have to believe who God is. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that your anxiety is going to go away. But I will tell you that when you decide to believe God rather than your own mind, then the anxiety will begin to lessen. I do know that. It will ease. It may not ever go away. You may always deal with this because there are infirmities. We are sinful beings. We may have to deal with this for the rest of our life. I believe the Apostle Paul dealt with it. And that's why that he said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication." Do you understand what that's saying? Be careful for nothing. So that doesn't mean to take caution, to be careful to take caution. That means to not allow the cares that you have to fill you up. When we allow those cares that we have to fill us up, to be careful, imagine there's one more L on the end of this word careful here. That's the meaning behind this. Be careful. Don't be filled with care for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, excuse me. Let your requests be made known unto God. Then verse 7 kicks in. See, we like to claim verse 7. You get people running around all the time claiming verse number 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And I hear it all the time. I walk down them schools, and them poor old teachers, man, the things they had to deal with, you see them, they look, when we look at one another, they'd be like, "I could have killed him, but the peace of God." And I get it, but that's the understanding of verse number 7 is that verse number 6 has happened. That you've been careful for nothing. You've given it over in prayer and in supplication. Did you know, church, you might have to pray about something more than once. You can take things once and leave them there, but you might have to take some things more than one time. You might have to go over it again and again and again. And it's okay to remind the Lord of His promises. Lord, you said that you'd supply all my need according to your riches and glory. Lord, here's that need that I have, that I still have. God not meeting that need at the immediate time that you think that He should doesn't mean that God's not going to meet that need or that He didn't meet the need. We're operating under a God who does not operate on our timetable. We're not in His timetable. We don't get to define what time is to God. So Peter put it the best way that he could. A day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day to the Lord. That's the best way that Peter could come up with to let that baffle of time be known is that God does not operate the way that we operate. So what we view as 2,000 years ago, to the Lord it was 2 days ago. Think about the cross, when the cross happened, and all those years ago that Jesus died on that cross, and as He walked on the face of the earth, and we see the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ as being more than 2,025 years ago. We look at that and we think, man, that was so long ago, but in the mind of God, it was yesterday, and the blood of Jesus is warm and red and still flows on Mount Calvary, and it still cries out to Him. All of these things that we think we know, throw it out the window and say, Lord, I'm going to let You teach me. Apply that thought process to anxiety. And I believe that the Lord will carry you through your anxiety. Anxiety is a thief. And the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what it comes for. And it does happen to preachers. We get anxiety. Can I be honest with y'all? Here's how anxiety comes up in my life a lot of times. I'm going to be transparent here. Hey, preacher, can I talk to you? Sure. Some of you already picked up on it and said, preacher, can I talk to you? It's nothing bad. Or when someone said, we need to talk. I'm sitting there going through my mind, what did I do? A dear friend of mine called me the other day, and that's all he said to me. He said, hey, we need to talk. And I'm like, oh, man. What did I do? And so I texted him. I'm like, I'm available now. He's like, no, tomorrow's good. Are you kidding me? I went home. I guess I do have anxiety, because I went home and I come home and I told you. I said, I don't know what I did. I was going back over all the events that had happened that week. Earlier in the week, I had coffee with them, and I'm like, did I say something? Did I say something stupid? Because I've done that before. And not realize it, and it caused problems. Y'all ain't never done that, have you? And I was going through my mind like, did I say something really dumb? And so then I start recounting every word that I said. And I had this one interaction. It was on that Thursday morning. I had an interaction. This lady that's in the group that I run with, she had spilt some coffee on the floor, and so she grabbed a paper towel and she just threw it down the floor and took her foot and wiped it up. And then she bent down and picked it up, and I said, that was a total mom move. So that's how I know you're a mom. And she laughed it off. And then all that afternoon, I'm like, was that dumb? Did I say something stupid? Is she mad? Did she complain? And you start picking apart little interactions. You start picking apart all those things. That's anxiety. You start trying to pick apart everything that could have happened, and you imagine what might have happened, and instead it's really nothing. It's just the Lord. And He's getting you ready. Maybe you do need to have a tough conversation. I'll tell you this, when it goes to tough conversations, it's best to have them, be honest while they're going on. You all right? Be transparent, even if you know somebody don't want to hear what you got to say, and you don't want to hear what they got to say. Just go ahead and get it out there. Deal with it. Quit you like men is what the Bible says. That don't mean we get to quit. That means get prepared, get ready. Anxiety is a thief. If the Lord allows, I'll do the rest of these through the remainder of this month. There's only three more. We got prayer and supplication. Let's see, wait a minute, not in that order. Let's look in this order. Here we go. The problem, I wrote these 3 years ago. The prescription, and prayer and supplication. You know if it's alliterated, a Baptist wrote it. We got to have everything matching. I hope that this has been a blessing and an encouragement to you. One of my biggest fears is appearing arrogant, self-righteous when I'm in the pulpit. And so I hope, there's some anxiety, I hope that I did not appear that way. But I want you to walk with the Lord, and I want you to grow closer to Him, and I want you to understand that the Lord does know what you're going through. And He does understand, and He has the ability to meet the need, but you're going to have to bring the need to Him and not try and figure it out in your own mind. All right. Father, in Jesus' holy name, I come to you and I thank you for giving us another evening here. I thank you for this Wednesday night. No doubt, Lord, there'll be anxiety that will continue in our minds and in our hearts as we go our separate ways. I pray, God, that you would allow us to apply these principles that you allowed me to see and that we can carry with us. I pray, God, that we would apply them to our prayer life. We would apply them to our spiritual walk. We would apply them to our relationship with you. And Lord, we would get the help that we so desperately need. Have your will and your way, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.